This is Greater LA, KCRW show that connects you to the people, places, and lovers of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Here's a question for you. When's the last time you went on a date? And now, a quick follow-up. Where'd you go? Where to go? That was the conundrum facing 36-year-old Brit after meeting a new guy online last year. Now, we're not using her last name because she's concerned about her employer finding out about her pandemic dalliances.
Where can I meet this person that's not unsafe, right? So I'm trying to think of like where it would be safe where I can meet this guy. And the grocery stores were the only places that were open. Basically, you know, when somebody's house is the only option, you have to get creative and come up with something else. So we had a date in the tailgate of my car out in like a Ralph's parking lot.
Ah, love in the time of COVID. It's out there. As COVID infections rose worldwide, so did the use of dating apps. Match Group, which owns a majority of the dating app market, saw nearly 50% more installs last year compared to 2019. And so today, with Valentine's Day just around the corner, you're going to meet some folks making the pandemic work for their love lives. Coronavirus be damned. Here's KCRW's Danielle Chiriguayo.
The last thing on Britt's mind before the pandemic was settling down. An attorney by day, Britt moonlighted as the life of the party, going out to bars, hanging out with girlfriends, and meeting new guys. So when the COVID lockdown started, it really only took 3 weeks to get back onto the dating scene.
Once I realized that this was like a permanent state of being, it was like, okay, my life may stop, but my libido cannot. I need to continue trying to find a partner.
Apps like Hinge and Bumble became a social life preserver for the 36-year-old divorcee. And that forced Britt to get creative when finding COVID-safe date spots. After a few FaceTime dates, she met guys at the beach and at the park, drive-in movie theaters, even her own apartment. Although that one did lead to a few awkward encounters.
It's like you get them back to your house and they get their dicks out. They're like, oh, it must be dick out time. No, it's not dick out time. We're just at my house.
At first, swiping on hot singles was fun, until the duration of the pandemic began to really sink in for Britt.
Things have gotten so serious. It's like there's this cloud of uncertainty all the time, and going out and having fun and getting to know people just to get to know them, or just dating somebody because you think they're interesting. You don't have that leeway anymore. It's not available. Normally, you're waiting to date the like boring, perfect guy when you're ready to get married because you still want to go out and have fun and like hashtag ho life. And there is no hashtag ho life right now. Like you,
at the beginning of the pandemic, Britt met a fellow attorney who she thought of as a little boring, maybe a bit too stable. But these days, he's starting to look more attractive by the minute.
COVID has really brought a lot of things home for me. I've had a lot of time to like sit at home and think, and you know, how many like premieres the guy would go to and what kind of places he could get me into, like what kind of clubs he, you know, had that he went to. That kind of stuff used to matter. Like, how fun is it going to be to hang out with this guy? That's not as important now because there's nowhere to go. So it's really just more about stability now, looking for somebody that, like basically if you're stable enough to make it through a pandemic, you're stable enough to father my baby. That's if you still have a job at the end of this pandemic, you are daddy material. You know what I mean?
While the pandemic has led to life-changing family planning revelations for Britt, for others, the turmoil has also provided time for introspection vis-a-vis online dating and pandemic situationships. Like for 27-year-old Drew Gregory. Drew had a big breakup back in 2019. Then she started casually dating. 2 years after coming out as trans, she was just trying to figure it all out, including herself.
And, you know, like normal first year single after a lot of years of not being single sort of things, with the added layer of like dating as an out queer person for the first time and like dating as a woman for the first time.
The pandemic forced her social and dating life online, and that led to new revelations on how she connects with others.
You know, if there's a person who in a non-pandemic situation, we would have gone on like 3 dates and had sex once or twice, like, and instead we went on 3 dates and did not, does that make it so now, like, when I think about how well I got to know that person. Is it less? Is it because of that? I don't know. Because maybe having a 4-hour Zoom call where literally all you're doing is staring at each other's face is like intimate in a different way.
Like Britt, the allure of stability sank in. Drew realized she might even be ready for another serious relationship.
That like feels like a vulnerable thing for me to say and to admit, but like I do want that. It feels like it's much cooler to like not want that and then you stumble upon it. But the fact is that like I do want that.
And while folks like Britt and Drew cautiously eye the brave new world that is serious relationships, some have fallen in love with reckless abandon. So in true rom-com fashion, here's one happily ever after story for this pandemic Valentine's Day. Meet Kyle Wise.
You never realize like how alone you are until it's like the end of the day and you got a bunch of things you want to say, but no one to say it to. I mean, you can call your friends up, but you know, there's that connection with the partner. And I remember calling up my buddy Luke, and I was just like, I'm lonely.
Pre-pandemic, 35-year-old Kyle was a work-fixated bachelor and not exactly ready to commit.
I guess this sounds so LA, but I guess my therapist would say I was emotionally unavailable. Dating was pretty low on my priority list. It was a lot of Mrs. Right Now instead of Mrs. Right.
That was until he met his now girlfriend, who, full disclosure, folks, is a producer on this show and doesn't want us to say her name. But it starts with a J. The two met on Hinge back in July, and a few FaceTime dates and STD and COVID tests later, they met up for their first in-person date.
When we met, I remember driving over to her spot, and she comes out, and Danny, she was gorgeous. And I still, like, my heart leaps every time I see her open the door. And all I could say, the first thing I said to her was, see, I'm not catfishing you. She's like, great. Okay.
Now, 7 months later, Kyle and Jay are in it for the long haul. They're even making plans to try for a baby this summer. The pair have talked about the alternate reality where a pandemic didn't happen, and whether they would have seriously committed if they had met under different circumstances. Kyle, he chalks it all up to serendipity, that it took a pandemic to meet Mrs. Right.
When I sleep over there and like her head is on my shoulder and the dog is like his head on the other shoulder. And in that moment, I don't want to be anywhere else. And this is coming from a guy who loved to travel, never stopped running, never stopped going. So I guess to sum it all up, I think COVID simplified things and put things into perspective on what's really important.
So listener, on this Valentine's Day, I ask you, what is really important? Whether you answer libido, liberation, or long-term love, the pandemic might have more opportunities for Cupid to do his work than you expected. For KCRW, I'm Danielle Chiriguayo. She says nobody wants her. Been left alone. She said nobody needs her. Well, girl, you're on. Well, if you see her, tell her there is room for her in my arms, in my arms. You don't have to go.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW. What if you already have a relationship of love, but concrete walls and armed guards are keeping you apart? Thousands of Angelenos and others across the state love someone who is incarcerated behind bars. For the last 11 months of the pandemic, they haven't been able to visit their partners. They've kept their relationships alive the old-fashioned way, with love letters and the occasional phone call. Here are some of those letters brought to you by our friends at KALW in the Bay Area and their podcast called Uncuffed.
My precious Tui, it's been almost a year, Valentine's Day, since we last saw each other in visiting. You know, I say that everything I know about love I learned in prison. And it's even more true today with this endless COVID lockdown. You've been on quarantine now for several weeks, and I know it must sometimes remind you of the trauma of decades in Pelican Bay SHU with no yard or calls or kind human touch. I love you, my husband, and I live for the day I can kiss and hug you and win our next thumb wrestling match. We must never take a moment together for granted. Be safe and well. By your side always. Happy Valentine's Day. Love, Becca.
Hi, babe. How are you? I'm so happy you're feeling a lot better from having COVID. I was so worried about you. I felt helpless not being able to take care of you. Everyone out here is fine. Jessica started her new job. She said it's boring. I told her at least she's getting paid good money to be bored. I've been sending emails to the governor, senator, CDCR, and more. I promised you I'd be by your side and be your voice, and I will continue until you come home. You are my world. You are always on my mind. I sit here and pray that you come home soon. I want to thank you for being my rock, even from the inside. I love and miss you so much. But remember, I want you to keep your head up and stay strong. Love always, Juanita.
Jason, my Jason. It's a full wolf moon tonight, and of course I'm thinking of you. And then I looked into what was going on astrologically, and well, babe, it's not good. Apparently we're heading into a universally challenging and dramatic time on the relationship front. Could be turbulent. That sort of made me giggle. I mean, right now, we got three states, a viral apocalypse, and a whole bunch of steel and concrete between us, and we are golden. I say bring it on. As always, my Jason, I love you. Yvette.
My love, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder, but that mere absence is what at times hurts the most. We miss you every single day. I wish things were different, and I look forward to the day, God willingly, sooner than later, that you get to meet our newborn son. He just turned 8 months and he sleeps with a picture of you in his crib. I am constantly showing him pictures of us and he gets the biggest smile on his face when he hears your voice on the phone. I feel he remembers your voice from when I was pregnant and you would constantly be talking to my belly. Our daughter misses you so much as well, and every time someone asks her about you, she breaks down and starts crying. It's heartbreaking. I have not heard anything since your friend of yours called to inform me that you were tested positive and they were taking you out of the building. I pray that you're okay, and I know that God is so big and he is taking care of you. In a few weeks, it will be 1 year since I last kissed you and felt your warm embrace. I hope you love all the pictures I send you of our son. I try my best to capture all these special moments for you. When he tries different foods, when he sits up and crawls, and he is now trying to walk. I tell him he is so big and strong like his dad. You already know that I'd go anywhere for you. I'd go to the end of the world if I had to. You are my everything. I love you so much. Your wife, Neva Magaña.
My baby. I hope this letter finds you, knowing how much I love and miss you. It is so surreal to think that after nearly 10 years on this journey together, we will finally be able to enjoy our marriage together at home. It breaks my heart to think that you have spent 21 years, more than half of your life away from home, as you served your life sentence. Finally, light at the end of the tunnel, and it feels so gratifying to see that shining hope of endless possibilities. I am so proud of the man you have become. Choosing you and your love in the midst of darkness was the best decision I have ever made. You are the best decision I have ever made, and I promise to continue choosing you all the days of my life. Forever yours, Wifey.
Blaine, good morning, my handsome husband. I just wanted to take a moment out of this crazy day and these crazy times to tell you how much I love and miss you. This has been quite a year. We may be physically apart, but our love and our bond has never been this strong. We haven't seen each other since March 8th, 2020, yet I feel closer to you than ever before. I am so proud of you for all of your accomplishments. You are my best friend, my soulmate, my life partner, my husband, my future baby daddy, my everything. The countdown is on, baby. After over 14 years behind those concrete walls, we are down to 108 days, 9 hours, 14 minutes, and 23 seconds until we will be in each other's arms again. But who's counting? I can hardly wait to see what our love set free will look like. I look forward to going to sleep in your arms, waking up in your sweet embrace, starting a family with you, buying our first house. Baby, the list goes on. Thank you, God, for your blessings and for gracing us with the most beautiful love story there ever was. I love you so much, baby. Please stay safe, stay healthy, and I will see you very, very soon. Yours truly, your wife, Christina Bowker.
By the way, those are the voices of Becca Tuitasi, Juanita Rowena, Yvette Yarger, Neva Magana, Michelle Marrero, and Christina Bowker. The KALW podcast Uncuffed was produced by Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Pat Masiti-Miller, and Eli Wortschafter. Special thanks to them for putting that together for us. What the world needs now is love. Sweet love, no, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. Onward now with Greater LA on KCRW and our show about love. As we head into this Valentine's Day, from dating out in the wild to dating in the wild. Well, what kind of wild? Let's call it wild adjacent here in LA. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the moon up above and a thing called love. Whether it's a mountain lion braving a SoCal freeway to find a mate, or snails looking for love, pandemic or not, animals are going to find a way to get down and procreate. Layla Higgins is senior manager for community science at the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. She is our Dr. Ruth of the animal and creature world. Hey, Layla.
Hi, Steve.
I'm going to call you Dr. Layla, without
cool.
The doctorate, of course.
You can give me a promotion.
Will you, I want you to read that bit from your book, Wild LA, about snails having sex, because it actually sounds pretty good.
This was one of my favorite pieces to write. Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
Like other snails, the common garden snail is a hermaphrodite, which means it has both male and female sex organs. When a pair comes together, each harpoons the other with a love dart, which introduces hormones to induce mating. To reproduce, they intertwine their bodies and extend their penises from behind their heads to exchange sperm. Mating can take anywhere between 4 and 12 hours.
4 and 12 hours. There's so much crazy stuff in the animal world, Dr. Layla, when it comes to mating. So tell us about the damselfly.
So damselflies, some people may get confused with dragonflies, but basically they are like flying neon toothpicks. They're the really skinny ones that fly around, often really brightly colored. We have neon blue ones around here. And when they're mating, you'll often see them paired up and creating this almost like wheel shape and even heart shaped. And it's because their genitals are in weird positions. But here's the thing. Male dragonflies can actually remove sperm from competitors from within the female. And so it's called sperm competition or sperm displacement. So it's almost like a rotor-rooter penis. And then the male wants to make sure that no other males come around, that it's his sperm that fertilizes the eggs. And so he guards his mate, takes her to the water, and that's where she lays her eggs while he's guarding her.
I have so many questions, but let's move on. There are more things to talk about here vis-a-vis love in the animal kingdom. Of course, here in Los Angeles, there are also mountain lions in the Santa Monica Mountains. As I mentioned at the outset, there have been sightings of them crossing freeways to mate. Sadly, some of them die because they're hit by cars. Tell us about how they do that in this, as I mentioned, wild adjacent LA.
Right. So mountain lions in the Santa Monica Mountains are very kind of cut off from their cousins, so to speak, in the north because of the 101 freeway. So roads are really hard for mountain lions to cross. And we've observed mountain lions crossing freeways, like using underpasses, using overpasses, and sometimes literally running across traffic. That's when we see them because they get hit and then they die. So this is something that we don't want to see. Researchers through the National Park Service and Miguel Ordinana from my museum have been doing a lot of work in mountain lions. And so we know that one mountain lion, P12, because they had a GPS collar, we know that they were able to cross. A new male in the population is really good. Apparently, the biologists were like, let's pop some champagne, because that means that he will have new genetic material to breed with the others.
There's actually an example of a mountain lion that has successfully made it from one part of town to another, almost like, you know, loading up a moving van and moving from where was he? He was in the valley, right? And then he found his way to Griffith Park. Talk about P22. This is who we know as the Brad Pitt of mountain lions.
Right. So P22 is our poster boy, so to speak, for mountain lions. He not only crossed the 101 freeway twice, he also crossed the 405 freeway. And if any of us have sat in traffic on those freeways, we know how busy they are, and made it all the way to Griffith Park. So he was successful. He was able to cross those freeways, but now he's a lonely bachelor. He is in Griffith Park. He's got plenty of deer to eat, but he doesn't have a mate, which again shows that he's going to have a lonely Valentine's Day, like maybe some of us during the pandemic. We are with you, P22. But it shows how important a wildlife crossing is.
And all in the name of love, Leela, and procreation, of course. Leela Higgins, Senior Manager for Community Science at the Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County. Leela, or Dr. Leela, thanks.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Well, to wrap up the show on love in anticipation of Valentine's Day, we asked you this question on social media. How has the pandemic changed your love life? Have you dared to date, or dare I say hook up during the pandemic? And our managing producer, Christian Bordahl, joins us right now with some of the answers. Hey, Christian.
Hey there, Steve.
So what did people have to say about whether they've been looking for love during a pandemic?
Well, as you might imagine, the answers were kind of a mixed bag. We did get a bunch of people just saying, nope, hell no, and other variations on that theme. But then there were people like Pinchahan, who said, I met someone because they had a viral TikTok and we've been dating for 3 months now. Alpata said they're back with an old girlfriend, but not like a couple. Paper Bag said it's hard dating now when you're an extrovert and genuinely enjoy in-person connections.
Yeah.
But Julie says, my boyfriend and I met on an app during the pandemic. And so Miriam says, yes, met someone back in October on Hinge and we're still dating. But Sarita Blanquita says, no, it's been almost a year now with an anguished emoji face. Niobe says, yes, but it's awkward, confusing, and unnecessarily intense. And Zanair says yes, but only with someone who's been on the same page as far as following COVID protocols. Waxaholic says tried dating online, but Zoom dates are awkward at best and a slog at worst. But Lucy Gal has a happy tale. Ironically, I found the love of my life after the pandemic hit. So I guess there's hope out there, Steve, even during the pandemic.
Even during the pandemic, yeah. The question, of course, I mean, finding love is finding love, right? You can find it, and if you can do it safely, but it's certainly a challenge, isn't it, Christian?
Absolutely.
KCRW's Christian Bordahl. Christian, as always, thank you.
Sure. Anytime, Steve.
And by the way, we love you. We really do. We hope the feeling's mutual. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for your ear and for your time today. I'm Steve Chitakis. Have yourself a great day. Check us out online at kcrw.com/greaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast, too, while you're there. And share your thoughts with us, kcrw.com/greaterLA. Jenna Cagle, that's Jenna with a J. Sonia Geis, Kat Yor, Ray Guarna, Phil Richards, Mike Stark, Amy Ta, Sue Margulies, and Christian Bordahl all made the show happen this evening. I'm Steve Chitakis. Thanks for the ear. Have a great night.
This is Johnny Rhythm just saying, good night to you all, and God bless you.